Welcome back to Straight Heat on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's your host, Patrick Creighton.
Give him the space and time to play this in. Walker able to stab it up in the air. Trippier out duel by Perisic. Mandzukic got there and scores! Mario Mandzukic! Croatia take the lead in extra time of the World Cup semifinal!
Courtesy Fox Sports 1, that's the sound, the game winner that put Croatia over England 2-1 to advance the World Cup final. And joining us from NBC Sports covers football. He's Matt Reed. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, what's up, Pat? How's it going?
Doing all right, brother. So, your reaction to the game today, England got out to the lead, and then they couldn't hold it.
Yeah, I think for them, and obviously their fans who have been suffering for a long time now, they're going to be very frustrated with this result because they had their foot on the gas in the first half. They obviously get that first goal through Kieran Trippier, fantastic free kick in the first half. And after that, things really went downhill for them because they couldn't get that second goal. And it wasn't for a lack of trying. I mean, they had a lot of chances laid on in the first half that they just couldn't finish. And I was saying to a friend of mine during the game, they needed to get that second goal going into halftime. And as soon as they didn't, you could just kind of sense that Croatia was going to get back into the game because they're too good of a team not to. They're a side that you really have to put away early. They didn't. Mandzukic obviously scores that goal late in the game. They get back in it. And just going to extra time again, I think that really favored Croatia. And that was something that England just wasn't used to. And Croatia having played extra time and penalty kicks these last two matches in the quarterfinals and round of 16, it really benefited them.
Now, Matt, there's been a lot made about, you know, this side of the bracket being softer than the other side of the bracket, and then maybe neither one of these teams really should have been in the semifinals. Do you buy into any of that? Or, you know, do these two teams show you, hey, even though maybe they didn't have to play Brazil or they had to play Spain or whatnot, that they, look, these teams have earned their place?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you wanted to avoid the left side of the bracket because you have the Brazil, the France, the Belgium, even Mexico was a good team. That was probably the worst team on that side of the bracket. And, I mean, that's saying a lot. So, yeah, to some degree, where you're placed does matter. And you could kind of see that in the last group stage game for England because they were tied atop the group with Belgium. Both teams made significant changes to their starting 11s in that game. And ultimately, whoever won that game was going to finish atop the group and go to that side of the bracket. Now, it didn't matter for Belgium because they still made it through to the semis, and they were very much in that game against France. But you can always argue, yeah, you might look at it and see, oh, we don't have all the stars on this side of the bracket. But at the end of the day, you still have to play the games. And everybody that gets into the World Cup, for the most part, is a top-quality side. These are the best 32 teams in the world at this point. There's a reason why they made it into the tournament. And although Croatia might not have had the love coming into the tournament, they've certainly earned people's trust now, and they're playing in the final against a very good France side.
Before we move on to the final, let's talk a little bit about England. They're coming off winning the Under-20 World Cup last year. They make it to the semifinal this year in the World Cup. How do you feel about England going forward? The Euro's 2 years away. How do you think they will look in 2 years? And is their future as bright as maybe the way we see Belgium in terms of having a golden generation?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think when you look at the next cycle of England players, there's a lot of promise. There's a lot of positives that this team can take away. And if you just go through the roster that Gareth Southgate has at this World Cup, there's very few players that I can envision not being back with this team next cycle. So that obviously bodes well in terms of continuity and chemistry moving forward, outside of maybe an Ashley Young or a player like that. most of these guys are going to be back in the next cycle. And then you've got guys like Phil Foden, Tammy Abraham. I mean, they have so many good young players coming up through their system. And as you just alluded to, they've won two of the major youth tournaments over the last couple of years. So I think this England side's really going to be around for a long time. Granted, people will obviously be upset not getting through to the final, but I don't think many England fans would have been upset hearing that they would be in contention for third place coming into this tournament.
So Harry Kane looks like he's going to run away with the Golden Boot. Six goals, unless Mbappe or Griezmann score four goals in the final. How do you feel about his performance overall? I think three of his six goals came from penalties. How do you feel his tournament played out for him?
I think it's been very disappointing. And it's not just because of his play. He's obviously been asked to do a lot because England really, that was ultimately their demise today. They couldn't finish the chances that were presented to them in the first half because they could have easily had two or three goals in the first half. But yeah, half of Kane's goals came from penalty kicks. There wasn't a lot of flow in the run of play. And ultimately, even today, he had a couple big chances towards the end of the first half that you would normally expect him to convert, and he didn't. So overall, I think the six goals is a bit misleading. He still stepped up during the group stage. They still had a chance to win their group with Belgium. But I think he'll be disappointed with his play.
Married of NBC Sports covering football with us on the hotline right now. And Matt, I guess break down for us, you know, what the two biggest storylines for Croatia and France going to the World Cup finals. For a lot of fans, I mean, a lot of fans here are casual fans. They're watching because it's the World Cup. And, you know, I don't watch a ton of soccer, but I watch World Cup soccer. So for fans who are, you know, casual fans and don't sit there and have time to read about every single thing that, you know, bums like I do, because I don't really work for a living. what are the big things to watch for France and Croatia? How do these two teams match up?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I'll start with Croatia first because obviously of the two sides, they're probably the more surprising to be in this position. But heading into the tournament, I thought they were a clear favorite to get out of the group, which wasn't saying much because obviously they were an Argentina's group. They kind of faltered a bit. But for me, Croatia had the best midfield in the entire tournament, and that's proven to be what's gotten them to this point. And they've lived up to the hype. You have guys like Luka Modric, Ivan Rakitic, even Ivan Perisic played very well today as well. Those guys have gotten them to this point, and that's ultimately what's going to win them the World Cup now because they're going up against a very good franchise that has two of the best midfielders in the game in this tournament, in N'Golo Kante and Paul Pogba, who are really controlling that midfield. It'll be very similar to the game today against England for Croatia. If they can find a way to control the midfield and really limit the way that France possesses the ball, they'll have a very good chance of winning. That's obviously a difficult task, but they're more than capable of doing it. So for France, they're in a similar situation with England. They have a very young roster. They've got experience in the areas that matter. Goalkeeper Hugo Lloris is a veteran. They've got Olivier Giroud up front, who's also a veteran. So a lot of these other young guys, though, you look at Pavard playing right back. He was almost an unknown coming into this tournament. He scores one of the goals of the tournament. He's been very steady for them defensively. And then you obviously have to look at Kylian Mbappe, who has just become an instant star. He was already playing very well for PSG last season. And this tournament for him is really going to boost him into that next stratosphere because you always have the discussion of Messi, Ronaldo, can kind of throw Neymar in. But at this point, I think Mbappe is very much in the conversation with Neymar for the third best player in the world because he's proven to be that skilled. He's got that boyish smile that makes you just want to like him as a player, even though the flopping is a little bit of a turnoff for me. But he's going to be the guy that makes France run, and he has for this entire tournament. So if they're going to score goals in this final, it's most likely going to come down to him.
So looking back 4 years, it was Germany and everybody else. This World Cup isn't exactly like that. I think France has been the best team. But have you, throughout the course of the tournament, have you had any issues with the way they've played or the way Deschamps has coached? Because I feel like in some instances in the World Cup, it's just been frustrating to watch how they've played, with just speaking on the talent that they have that you kind of mentioned. How do you feel overall about this France, who's now in the final and who's probably going to win?
Yeah, I think it is a bit frustrating watching them, right? Because they do have that talent. They've got arguably one of the best attacks in the world with Griezmann, now Mbappe. Even Giroud has proven to be a very good pure goal scorer as a striker, but he hasn't really stepped up in this tournament. Griezmann's been a bit frustrating to watch because he tries to do much too much sometimes. And it's really, like I said before, they've relied a lot on Mbappe to create chances in the final third. And had it not been for him, they probably wouldn't be at this point right now. But the one thing that I will say about them is they've probably been the best defensive team in the tournament. And that's something that you weren't necessarily expecting from this team. Samuel Umtiti from Barcelona has played out of his mind. He's their second leading. He might actually be their leading goal scorer at this point now after last game as a center back, which says a lot about what they've done offensively. N'Golo Kante, he's probably the player of the tournament. He won't win it because of his position and because of the fact that he doesn't score goals. But in terms of positioning and importance to his team in the holding midfield, he's one of the best players in the world. He sits in front of the back four. He's essentially a fifth defender. He breaks up all the plays that he needs to, and he just runs forever. And then you look at Paul Pogba, who last season in the Premier League, he took a lot of criticism, and rightfully so, because he didn't necessarily mesh under Jose Mourinho's system. But when you look at what he's done in this tournament under Deschamps and in this system, he's played very well. Again, as more of a defensive player, he gets forward at times, but he's a big body. He's a very physical player, and he's been able to break up plays and really stifle the attacks of opposing teams. And there's a reason why France isn't giving up a ton of goals. They gave up one in the group stage, and then they give up the 3 goals against Argentina. But other than that, they haven't conceded in their last 2 games. So they're a team that they really thrive on making teams work for their attack. And I see that being the same thing when they take on Croatia on Sunday.
Matt Reed, NBC Sports, covering soccer. Follow him on Twitter at Matt Reed Football. FUTBOL. Football. Matt, always appreciate you. Great information, great stuff. And I have a feeling we're going to talk to you again fairly soon.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Matt. Matt Reed, NBC Sports, with us on the hotline. You know, Jose, I know you are a huge soccer guy. There's something going on right now as a direct result of the World Cup. I'm interested to see what you think about this. We'll get to it next.